This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So, the only thing left to say is, you win? Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus, rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello and welcome to Exmo Kings Meadow, the podcast that follows the fantastic Chelsea FC women's team. Now, after a grueling 1-0 win away at Manchester City midweek, a trip to a park in Bootle was probably quite low on the list of places that Emma Hayes wanted to take her team last weekend. And as Chelsea struggled to deal with Everton's high press, you could see why. However, despite the best efforts of Rachel Brown finished to will Everton to a goal, it was a second half sub Kat Macario on for just 3 minutes who turned Aggie Beaver-Jones' goal, cross, into the net. And in turn, putting Chelsea into the hat for the next round of the FA Cup. And the title of tonight's show is Went to Mo Kings Meadow, episode 125, is Cat Puts Us in the Hat for the Next Round, in brackets. So, yeah, there we go. As good as it gets. I'm your host, Dean, of course. Not joined by Dane or Jane this week, but I am joined by a blossoming partnership on Went to Mo Kings Meadow, and that is, first up, Sophie Spittle. Sophie, good to see you.
Good evening, Dean. Good evening. I'm not going to give it away. How are we all?
Yeah, we're doing well. And your partner in crime, I should say, is Mr. Rich Bates. Rich, good to see you, mate. How you doing?
Yeah, good, thanks. Yeah, me and Sophie combining as well as Aggie and Kat did on Sunday. So, you know, very good partnership. Almost telepathic at this stage.
Yeah, we have to thank the manager for that. Obviously, a lot of playing time together makes for a great connection. Now, you are both fresh from a trip up north to Liverpool to watch this one. Rich, how was the trip for you?
I stayed at someone's overnight on Saturday in order to be able to get to the bridge in time. Coach journey itself was fine. Didn't sort of have any problems. You know, hit the services at the right time. Got at the right time, got there with about, you know, an hour to go before kickoff. So, yeah, coach journey up there was all right. And then I had to stand outside and get rain on for about roughly 3 hours. But no, coach journeys up and down were back, but yeah, just tiring. I still don't think I've recovered from it in terms of waking up that early and getting back fairly late. And then also going to the bridge yesterday evening as well. So, I mean, there's a lot of things to play, really. But, yeah, that journey was okay.
Yeah, well, luckily I wasn't there. Otherwise, I'd have been snoring on the coach. And that would have been even worse for you. Sophie, how about yourself? You know, we spoke about this just before we went on air, but Walton Hall Park is exactly that. It's a park. One of the more unusual grounds in a WSL.
Yeah. It's the same feel as like a very low non-league team. Metal barrier with advertising hoardings around three quarters of the pitch and then a little bit of a stand, no real facilities. But as I said beforehand, the pitch is immaculate. So it's an excellent pitch with sparse viewing facilities or what they've had before, better viewing facilities, but a rubbish pitch. And I think I'd probably take the better pitch, to be honest with you. So,
yeah, well, I'm sure Emma Hayes and the team would agree with you on the pitch side of things anyway, if not the changing rooms. Now, remember, you can listen to the show live every Tuesday and Fridays when we do it. That is on Mixlr, mixlr.com. You can join in the show by posting on the chat page as we talk, and I'll bring you into the show as we do. We've got a few in there tonight, Buffer already in the chat. Good to see you there. Now, remember, if you are listening on the Went to Home Kings Meadow podcast platform, then to leave us a nice 5-star review and tell us how much you love the show and what we do, because it will help others to find us. And on the show tonight, in part one, we're going to look back at that 1-0 win over Everton. And then in part two, we're going to look ahead to Friday's huge WSL clash with Arsenal at Stamford Bridge. And we're going to get into all that right after this. Right, then let's get into the action. Chelsea lining up for this one in a 4-2-3-1 formation with Sechura, Mrsic in goal. Iv Perisay, Nathalie Bjorn, Zirka Nuskin and Jess Carter as a back four. Aaron Cuthbert, Jordan Sophie in goal. You had everything Cameron, Jelena Cankovic, Aguibiga Jones supporting Frank Kirby in attack. Emma Hayes making full use of her available substitutions with Neve Charles replacing Nathalie Bjorn after just 14 minutes. And then in the 63rd minute, Lauren James, Mendy Lupoz and Kat Macario came on for Cankovic, Sophie Ingle and Frank Kirby. And then in the 79th minute, Micah Hamano came on for Erin Cuthbert. That left Hannah Hampton, Guru Wrighton, Ashley Lawrence and Kadisha Buchanan both back from the Gold Cup as the unused subs for this one. Stats-wise, Chelsea with 56% possession, 11 shots, 3 on target, 8 corners and 9 fouls to Everton's 44% possession. 11 shots, 4 on target, 4 corners, and 5 fouls. Now, Sophie, in the preview to this, I got 9 out of the 11 right. The 2 wrong were Kankovic starting again and Nuskin still at centre-back with Jess Carter left-back. And I know I'm saying this with hindsight, but it felt like one of those teams where it either would go very well very quickly or would be a bit of a struggle.
Yeah. Sort of going back to sort of pre-kickoff, I think the conversation around us, Rich, wasn't it, was, hang on, if Kadisha, Ashley and Melanie are in the squad, why aren't they warming up? So we were like, well, they're not going to play today, are they? Because they're not even warming up pre-game. And then obviously Melanie came on later, but that was all a bit confusing. But yeah, the squad, the team was definitely like that. I was quite intrigued by Jess Carter at left back because it feels to me almost that is that going to be an option when Millie comes back? So you, to keep Jess in the team, you move her out to fullback. But then where does that leave Neve? So I thought that was quite interesting, but maybe just gives Neve a little bit more chance for some rest if that's what's going to happen when Millie comes back. However, depending on Bjorn's injury, it might be that Jess Carter needs to go and play centre-back with when Millie comes back. So I was, that was my sort of thought process on that as to why Jess Carter was playing left-back, really. But yeah, it was definitely much. And I said, it's a team that looks like we're decimated by injuries, and that's how we played, and that's definitely how it felt like we played during the game. It's a team that was knackered and decimated with injury.
Yeah, Rich, I half expected sort of Nuskin to be at right back, Perisic left back, and Carter and Bjorn to continue their partnership in the middle, but it wasn't to be. Yeah, what was your thoughts on that lineup from Emma Hayes? Sort of seemed to be the best we could do with what we had.
I think that Neve has probably been one of the outfield players who's played the most minutes all season, and I think it was an attempt to give her rest more than anything, and also to see, yeah, potentially, you know, going forward, it may be that Emma wants to go with Bright and Bjorn, obviously injury dependent, potentially down the stretch of the season, and you've got Carter there as, say, like a more defensive minded left back. you might need that in certain situations later in the season. And I think, yeah, I think it was a plan to also rest Neve. She has played a lot of football this season. And obviously she was also part of the World Cup, or at the World Cup as well. Yeah, so that was kind of my thoughts into it, into the back four anyway. I wasn't sort of surprised that Nushkin was still sort of playing centre back. I thought she did a good job against Manchester City on Thursday. Yeah, I was generally sort of okay with it. But then obviously it kind of gets scuppered about a quarter of an hour in when Natalie, you know, gets injured and Neve has to come and play like the other 75 minutes of the game. I think that was what Emma was attempting. It was kind of maybe a bit two birds with one stone kind of thing.
Yeah, no rest for the wicked for Neve anyway. I suppose so. For the other question mark was about how the front four would sort of line up, whether it would be Fran or Aggie through the middle. It was Fran, and I don't really know why, but it just didn't work at all really that first half.
No, and I don't know if it was us or them, so to speak, whether it was Everton defending really well, causing us issues, or whether we just, that front three just didn't work as a three. It's difficult to know, because at Everton, you're flat and we were attacking the other end in the first half. So even less so at King's Meadow, where you've got a little bit of height, you've got no height or depth perception. So it's actually really difficult to see what's happening at the other end of the pitch. And I haven't had a chance to watch the highlights back. So I don't know. It's tricky, because I potentially think Fran's best position is coming in from out wide. But equally, I don't think Aggie worked up front that well. She worked really hard, but her hold-up play and effect as a front person in City, you could tell she still had a lot to do. So it made sense the way it was. But as I say, it could have just been the way Everton played against us that made it difficult for them as well.
Yeah, and I suppose which also you could take into account that it was, you know, although it was just 90 minutes on Thursday, it was a heck of a 90 minutes from the squad, not just the players that played, but it does take it out of you, doesn't it? Especially those long away trips that the team have to keep going on.
Yeah, exactly. Two in the northwest in the space of, my maths is good, 72 hours or so. Thursday was obviously a lot of effort was put in, and you know, it was a big result for us, I think, just from a psychological perspective, to go up to Manchester City and beat them with really only one fit natural centre back playing in the game. So I guess, you know, you got some forward momentum there, and but yeah, again, it was the performances of late. I think we've been much better or much more solid defensively. I don't think we're giving up as good a quality of chance to the opposition that we were early in the season, or at least that's my opinion anyway. That's what it feels like. It's just that everything kind of, from an attacking perspective, still feels disjointed. I think, you know, having certain players injured, having to, you know, rotate because, you know, we want to keep, you know, as people as fresh as possible. And that's probably one of Emma's biggest strengths, is the rotation and, you know, keeping everyone at a good enough level, you know, from a fitness perspective, and keeping them fresh enough, you know, for when these busy parts of the season happen. And yeah, I mean, sort of going forward to the forward play, I don't think Fran up front in the middle on her own worked. It was better in the second half, where I think we did kind of change to a back three and then played Aggie and Fran as like a two at the start. And I think they started playing a bit better. And then, you know, having that partnership kind of, well, was exactly what led to the goal later on. But I don't think it worked well with Fran up the top and the middle. And, you know, I think there was a few times where we were hitting balls in the air towards her, and she was being marked by Van Havermaet, and that is not a fair matchup at whatsoever.
No, not even two Frans. I think it would be a fair matchup for that one. And you wouldn't have seen this, obviously, being at the game, but online, a lot of the criticism for Chelsea's lack of build-up play It was being directed towards Ciciran Muzovic, who put people on edge with her passing with the ball. Sophie, how much of that would you say is on the setup of the team? How much is on Everton's press or on the goalkeeper herself? And what was the sort of crowd reaction like to those periods of the game?
I don't really think there was much of a crowd reaction. We were sort of as supportive as usual, really, as you get with the away game. We were having a conversation amongst sort of like those of us that travelled, or the group that I travelled up with, and we were saying that Zachira's, when you're used to playing with Hannah, who one touch out pass, Zachira takes that extra touch and then makes the pass and then doesn't make the pass as well. It's going to put the defenders on edge and they're going to drop back a little bit, which is then going to invite Everton back onto us. So I think it's almost an adaptation of moving from Hannah to Zachira. Everybody needs to adapt around it, and it's not always going to be a positive adaptation to that. So I think it's interesting in that respect. And I think that she was making easy passes look difficult. Now, whether that's the size of the pitch at Walton Hall Park, so there's four or five passes that she made out to Ev, and every single one of them went over her head. Now, whether that's because Ev's small and the pitch is small than what she's used to, or whether she was just getting her spacing wrong, I'm not sure. But when you've had Hannah in goal and then you go to Zachira, it just shows you how good Hannah is at that. And I don't think Zachira is bad at it. I just think Hannah's the level above. And I think Hannah's the level above anybody else at that, probably in the WSL. And that makes Zachira look bad. But I think generally Zachira is probably up there with everybody else.
Yeah, I mean, Rich, usually, you know, Zachira with the ball at her feet is the strong point you say about her game. That's the best part of her game, is the way she moves the ball. And just added to that feeling of disjointedness throughout the team. And I just wondered whether, obviously, you can't really sense it on TV, but at the game, whether Everton were sort of suffocating us a bit or not.
I think once they realised the first one had gone out, then they realised that maybe there was sort of an avenue to sort of attack. I mean, the conditions at the game weren't the best. There was rain. It wasn't the worst rain, but there was wind and a bit of wind. And it did feel like it was blowing to like Zachira's right hand side in the first half. I mean, I think all of the inaccurate passes she made out to Eve were on that side. There might have been one on the left hand side, but it definitely wasn't as many when she went to that side of the pitch. And then in the second half, I don't remember her doing that again, possibly because, you know, she's not kicking into the, you know, into the wind slightly differently, or kicking with the wind slightly differently. And that may be why she kept overhitting them. I guess that's potentially an excuse I'm giving, give us a cheer. But it was strange that she hit about four or five of these balls out to the right hand side, and they were too far ahead of Eve, or they were just sailing over her head into the crowd. And yeah, it did sort of add to the disjointedness for sure. I think over the last few weeks we've been used to Hannah being able to hit those passes with, you know, brilliant accuracy out to the sideline. I think I described it in one of the previous episodes. This is what she did at Villa quite a lot. She was able to clip the ball over the head of the winger of the opposition into the fullback's path, and then to start an attack, and she could do that on either side with either foot. So, yeah, it is a level above, as Sophie said, for sure.
Yeah, well, we'll come back to Muzovic in a bit. It's interesting on the social media takes on that, but social media do like to have someone to blame for a poor performance in the first half, and that was Muzovic's fault, apparently. I want to go back to Fran, Sophie, because, you know, I had a conversation with Dane actually over message about her performance and whether there should be some real concern about the levels that she's reaching or going to be able to reach now for Chelsea, and especially with the injuries we've got to our strikers, where that leaves us.
I think, sort of going back to Zachira as well, there wasn't really the option to hit it long in that first half because you had Fran up front, and therefore there was absolutely no point because the ball wasn't going to stick. So the only option she had was either to play out from the back or try and hit it to the wing backs. And as Rich said, the wind was a factor, and it was a factor in her warm-up as well. I know she was getting very cross with herself in the warm-up because she was missing chances, and it was clear that the wind was taking them taking them in. So I think we can't underestimate the wind on that. In terms of Fran, as I said before, I think her best position now is either in the 10, being the playmaker, making the pass almost before the assist, or making the space, or coming in from the right hand side. She's not a number 9 anymore, I don't think. But it says a lot that we're having to play her there at the moment, because ridiculously, all three of our number 9s are all injured at the moment. So it's, I think, unfortunately, we are seeing the tail end of Fran. And unfortunately, I don't know if we're going to see the best of her again, or if we have seen the best of her. But she is still capable of those moments of magic when played in the right position to create a chance from nothing. And I don't think you can write her off because of that, because she can make chances out of nothing when she's played in the right position. And I don't think number 9 is that position for her at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, I think there was an occasion, Rich, where she got through, the ball was played through to her, and usually in the past, Fran would run through and take it around the goalkeeper or probably score. Whereas now the defenders are catching up with her, maybe that yard of pace has gone. But like Sophie said, you know, she still can create stuff out of nothing. Maybe it would be best, you know, coming off the bench for Chelsea instead of having to start as a false 9. But situations like it is, it's sort of the cards we are dealt. But I just wondered if you think that we're going to see much more of Fran pass this season.
I think there's still a role that she can play as a, yeah, as Sophie said, as an attacking midfielder or someone coming in from wide. I don't think she's got the sort of the extra bit of pace that she did earlier in her career. Because, I mean, there were times where we would play her as a central striker in the past, and we'd be okay with doing that. I just don't think that. I think it may be sort of an accumulation of the injuries that she's had, that, you know, she's no longer got that, you know, kind of you know, pace, but she's still clever enough to play in a position further behind. So I do still see a role for her sort of going forward. Just think it's going to be one where she's going to have to drop back. And again, you know, that position, we're pretty in the wide areas, and also in the attacking midfield, we have got depth there already. So, you know, I do still think she's got a role, you know, potentially being either like someone who starts 60 minutes in, you know, in a rotation, or, you know, comes on for, you know, the last 20, 30 minutes of a game, you know, just to, you know, give her something maybe a little bit different, because, yeah, I mean, she's still, you know, she's still clever. She's still a very intelligent footballer. I mean, that's not ever going to go away. So, yeah, it may be just that we just got to, you know, adapt her role slightly. And, you know, I think, you know, maybe to sort of transition her to more of like a, you know, a squad player than, you know, like a week in, week out starter. But, yeah, I'd still keep her at this current stage. I just think we just need to have a drop back a little bit more.
Yeah, and I suppose she has earned the right to decide if she wants to stay or not. Happy to have her, as always, in the club, of course. Now, we've mentioned this already, but the injury to Natalie Bjorn. So it just seems quite annoying that, you know, like Buchanan's back from the Gold Cup now, Millie Bright's training on grass, and now it's time for another injury. We're never going to see what this Chelsea side looks like at full strength at all this season.
No, I know. It is very frustrating. We don't know how bad the injury is. It could be that Emma said she felt her calf, and they could be that they're taking her off just to be careful with her. You know, it seemed really innocuous. She put a tackle in sort of like the box that we were standing behind when Everton were on the attack. It was a really good tackle. She got up and carried on. And then, I don't know, it was 5 minutes, maybe three, four minutes later, in a break and play, she sat down in the middle of the park. Sorry. And then when the player sits down like that, you know it's an injury and they're not likely to carry on. But there didn't seem to be any cause for that injury, unless it was a tackle she made in the box.
Yeah, I mean, I think Emma said about it, Rich, that you need to let it settle down before they can look at it. Maybe just a bit of swelling and hopefully nothing too serious, but you never know the worst injuries are normally when a player goes down around when no one's around them.
Yeah, I didn't see what happened. I didn't see how she, you know, she sustained the injury. Yeah, it looked sort of fairly innocuous. All we saw, all of a sudden, we just saw that she was down, and we're like, okay. I think the main thing from a fan's perspective we were slightly concerned about was the fact that the pitch, you know, was a bit slippy. I think Čanković slipped in the second half. That didn't look great, but luckily she jumped back up straight after. So maybe thought, okay, she might have slipped somewhere that, you know, might have pulled a muscle or something like that. Although I don't know if a calf injury could be sort of sustained in that way. I'm not too sure, but just didn't see what happened. And it's very frustrating that, you know, with our two January signings, you know, at the moment, you know, they're both sort of doubts for, and they've both come in and they've both, you know, done really well where they've played. But, you know, obviously they're now doubts for, you know, obviously in the immediacy, the big game on Friday, and then sort of going forward. But yeah, it's just frustrating because, you know, she has played well for us so far.
Yeah, and I was sort of quite looking forward to seeing her play. Maybe alongside Millie, but hopefully it's not that bad, and she will be back in the team anyway, pretty quick. But with Chelsea and injuries, I don't think we'll find out until she's either on the pitch or singing crutches. Seems to be the way it goes. Sophie, there was not many chances in that first half. I know Bjorn hit the bar with a header, just had one hook towards the goal, which weren't very close. And then there was a chance just before half time for Čanković, where Cameron got down the right hand side, played it into her, and, you know, the goal seems to be gaping, but she put it wide. It seemed to sort of sum up Chelsea's half.
Yeah. I hadn't realised how good a chance that was until I'd seen it back. I saw that and the goal, and that's about it in terms of highlights. Yeah. And again, I think disjointedness from us, tiredness from us, but credit to Everton. They defended well. They defended from the front, made it difficult for us. But I think a chance like that, you've got to put away. And Čanković knew she should have put it away. You could tell by her reaction that she knew she should have scored that. You wouldn't want to be looking back at that at the end of the game and thinking, oh, should have put that one away. But in the end, it all worked out.
Yeah, got out of jail with that one. And then, Richard, we mentioned obviously the change after half time, Aggie going a bit more central than Fran. Just seemed to make a bit of a difference. Do you think it was as simple as that, or Emma maybe putting a rocket up about half time as well?
I think it was mainly the tactical switch. I'm sure Emma would have had something to say about it because, you know, they didn't play well in the first half. It was a very scrappy game. Yeah, as I sort of mentioned earlier, it looked like to me that we changed to a back three. I think it was a bit easier to sort of spot this in the second half when obviously they were lining up on, you know, the other side and they were attacking towards us. But it felt like JRK had become like the right wing back. You know, I know she's done that a few times a season, and Neve had gone to, like, you know, left wing back role, and then there was three centre backs playing. Čanković looked like she dropped into sort of like a 10 position, and then I think what did help Fran out is I think she may be able to play as a striker with someone up there with her, because I do think that when Aggie was up there supporting her, it was a bit better. They're obviously players that, you know, opposite sides of their career or opposite ends of their career. And, you know, Aggie can do that sort of running in behind, and Fran can, you know, drop into sort of space, and they can sort of combine well that way. It just felt like from the start of the second half, we were sort of keeping position a bit better. We were sort of starting to, you know, create more chances. Although, again, like, when I say create chances, I mean like create half chances, like put some sort of decent moves together, but not really sort of, again, create a lot of stuff that was clear cut, obviously, until the goal happened. Other than that, I do think that we were keeping the ball a little bit better. And it was better in the second half, although only sort of just about.
Yes, agreeing with what Richard's saying there. So it felt like, watching on the TV anyway, that the momentum perhaps shifted a little bit after half time in Chelsea's favour. And then when Emma made the triple sub, you know, what was it, James Leopoldo and Macario coming on. You know, that bit of extra maybe quality in the final third paid obviously all the difference.
Yeah, I think for me at half time they felt like there was a step on in intensity. They felt like they were pushing that little bit harder. Now, whether that's because there were a few of them that knew they only had another 15 minutes to go at and they just put maximum in for that 15 minutes before they were coming off, or whether that was, yeah, as you said, Emma put a rocket up their backsides at halftime. But I you could tell the difference in the second half. They kept the ball. There was more momentum. When we were attacking, there was consistent attacking rather than attacking, losing the ball, going up the other end and then coming back again. We were keeping the ball. And those substitutions definitely made it. I think Melanie Leupold's made a big difference. I think she was more mobile than Sophie was. And I think that made a difference. And then Lauren is Lauren. You put her on the pitch and suddenly she's got one or two players around her, which is going to create space for other players. And that's the sort of space that Aggie and JRK can utilise because they've got pace and can run past players. If players are worried about what Lauren James is going to do, then other players are going to be able to find that space and do something with it.
Yeah, and speaking of JRK and Aggie Beaver Jones Rich, almost perfectly set up there by Sophie. They did combine for the goal. Cambridge playing Aggie in down that right-hand side, who does well with the ball. But for me, you know, the best thing about the goal is the movement from Macario to just take them two steps back, almost without, I don't think she looked, almost that instinctive goal scorer's, you know, knowledge of where they are in the box and where they need to be, and a simple tapping after 3 minutes. Also means she's going to score after 45 seconds against Arsenal, which is also good.
Yeah, I mean, I think of the sort of attacking players, the one that did kind of stand out and the one that was a threat even in the first half was JRK. She was able to get behind Everton on the right-hand side and she was producing some decent sort of looking crosses and cutbacks. But this one was, you know, she was playing much deeper and she just put a lovely sort of slide pass in behind for Aggie. And I'm pretty sure because it was right in front of me that Aggie nutmegged the defender that was coming across, it looked like. I think she did. It was so quick that I couldn't quite tell, even though I was about standing about 5-10 yards from it. But yeah, Macario has impressed in that, you know, she seems to have some chemistry with her team, the teammates already. Now, I know she's had a lot of, she's been in training for a couple of months now. So she's obviously gaining that understanding in training, but it's good to see that she's hit the ground running out on the pitch. And yeah, you know, very, very clever movement. And you know, in the end, that clever movement led to an easy finish.
Yeah, I mean, Toby, you can see obviously when she scored that goal against Leicester, what it meant to her and her teammates. Rich talking about that connection, and you know, again here, you know, that one bit of quality was all it needed in this game to win it for us.
Yeah, and I think obviously her movement, her goal, but I don't think you can underestimate the pass from JRK through to Aggie and then Aggie's timing on the run and the fact that she just kept running and she knew she had the beating of the Everton defenders, took it into the box, got past the defender. And then she sort of looked up, but even then to find Kat as well as she did, that's just shows again the level that Aggie is at now and the potential she's got for like 2 or 3 years' time. She's such a clever player. She was making some fantastic runs all game that weren't always being found in the way Sam does, in that she was moving forwards and then moving back and curving her run round to try and stay onside. And I think that if this is a sort of a taste of things to come with the Macario and Beaver Jones partnership, or the Cat and Aggie, whichever way we call it, it's looking pretty exciting because they seem to be building up a really good relationship. After just, what, less than 45 minutes on the pitch together?
I think they're going for the Beaver Cat, which is worse than something I've been caught with, I think. But, you know, they're sticking with it. Rich, want to just head back to Muzovic to sort of end the match analysis, so to speak, because she got a lot of a stick in this game, but I think she made, you know, two great saves that kept us in the game, kept the clean sheet, allowed us just to have that one goal win. You know, if that's, you know, the level that our backup goalkeeper's, you know, given us, should we just be happy rather than moaning all the time?
I think it was a very good save, particularly from the free kick. Because when I saw it live, I just thought that she might have just parried it up in the air. I didn't realise that she took the touch and it hit the crossbar at the time, just because of the angle that I kind of was at. But she's still a decent up shot stopper, not quite to Berger's level, but still, you know, good enough to make those types of saves. And, you know, we know she has games where she's basically, or can have games where she's pretty much unbeatable. I know the United States, probably, you know, she's still in their nightmares to this day. I think at the moment, the goalkeeper situation, it is a bit more clearer than it was, you know, 2-3 months ago. I think it's, you know, we know Hampton's the starter, and then we know we've got some capable backups, or at least that's what it feels like in Musovic, and he is Sweden's number one still. Let's not forget that she's still, you know, the number one of her national team, and you know that's a pretty good backup goalkeeper to have.
Yeah, it's also worth sort of noting, Sophie, that you know it's hard for a goalkeeper to come in out of, you know, you don't play for 3 or 4 games and then have to come in with a makeshift back four as well, under pressure, you've got no long ball out. You know, it's going to be tough with the wind, as you said, as well. So, you know, I think she had a good game, and that's why, you know, when we get to it later on, I put her in the player of the match poll.
Yeah, and I also think I want my goalkeepers to keep goals out. I'm not bothered if they put the odd ball out when they're trying to pass the fullback, if they make game-saving saves, because ultimately that's what you're there to do. You're not there to make nice passes out from the back. She does make those saves. She's getting better at making those saves. And at the end of the day, as I say, I'm happy with that. I think I hadn't realised how good the save was either until I saw it back. Yeah, that's all I want. And you're right. She was coming into a team with a dodgy back. Dodgy, that's unfair on them. An untested back four. Not nice conditions. And yeah, as we've seen in other games this weekend, keepers that come in out of the cold tend to make a few mistakes. And if the mistakes she makes are just kicking the ball out rather than letting goals in, then I'm happy with that.
Yeah, absolutely. Sachira, always a friend of Wentz Moki, for sure. Now, some quotes from Emma. 3 away games in 7 days. You see the toll it takes on the team. Credit to players who played in all 3 games, Carter, Perisay and Charles. Lucky to have won 1-0, but Kat Macario came on and showed a bit of quality, and that was the difference. It's our mentality that got us through the day. Kind of what we just spoke about, Rich, on the whole. But, you know, it's worth remembering that they've played 3 games in 7 days, all away. A couple of players have played all those minutes. Sometimes it's not all about the performance. You know, it's about the win. And in cup games, definitely, it's about the win.
Yeah, exactly that. I mean, 3 away wins in a week and you've not conceded a goal. It's a pretty good week. Especially with, you know, one of those opponents being Manchester City away, in right in the middle of that as well. I'd like to, obviously, you'd want everyone to be fit in order to see what the best version of us is. But at the moment, you know, they're keeping, you know, they're gathering some momentum in terms of wins. And, you know, as I said, I think I said a few weeks ago, you know, it feels like we have got better defensively since the start of the year, and now we just need the combinations up front to, you know, to get a bit better. And now we've got, you know, Aggie and Kat, who seem to be, you know, potentially be providing some of that, you know, combination play to allow us to, you know, to create chances and score, which is good. Definitely a good week. And you know, you've got, it's not quite a full week to Friday night from Sunday, but you know, hopefully they've, you know, had a rest on Monday, lots of ice baths, to get themselves ready for Friday night.
I think another point to make about the clean sheets is we finished with one recognised centre back on the pitch today. We finished with one recognised centre back on the pitch on Thursday. So we're keeping these clean sheets with a very makeshift defence. I mean, at the end, when Nuskan had to go into midfield because Aaron went off, we had a back three of Ev, Jess and Neve. Arguably, none of them have been centre-backs for their entire career, with JRK and Aggie as wing-backs. So I think to keep clean sheets with defences that aren't necessarily full of natural defenders against a Man City and a very high-press Everton, I think we shouldn't dismiss lightly either. I think it was brilliant defensive play from those players.
Yeah, deserves a lot of credit, especially when you have a team like Man City, who people are now touting for the title, got away to Spurs. And lost on penalties out of both cups in the space of about 72 hours, going to Rich with his good maths. So, you know, I'd rather be us than them, for sure. Just lastly, on Macario, I thought this was quite interesting, Sophie. She said, I'd like to have her a bit more. Maybe we will now. We've been working, building her up towards that. Sounds a bit like Macario will be a bit more involved.
Yeah, I guess the next natural step is either play her for 45 minutes, bring her on at half-time in a game, or start her in a game and bring her off after at half-time or after an hour. I'm not sure what the next step is. Do you do that against Arsenal? I'd still be tempted to keep her on the bench and come on against Arsenal, especially if we need to make a difference or build a lead. But yeah, hopefully now we can see 45 minutes, an hour, leading up to maybe in three or four games' time before the international break, a full game from her. Because, wow, what a player. That's all you can say, having seen her sort of live twice now. What a player.
Yeah, well, we'll get into that Arsenal team very shortly. Before we do that, we did our usual play of the match poll. And it finished like this. So Ciro Muzovic got 8% of the vote. Dirk Nuskin 13%. If Perez 20%, and then Aggie Beaver Jones was the winner actually with 59% of the vote. I think there was a couple more players that probably could have been on this poll as well. Sophie, I'll come straight back to you because you always pick somebody that's not normally there. Who was your choice?
My choice was Jess Carter. I thought she moved out to fullback really well, and then when she came into centre back when Natalie Bjorn went off, she marshalled the defence. And she played, I thought she made some really good tackles, some really good clearances, and just led the defence really well for the rest of the game. So, yeah, as always, Dean, I've gone for somebody not on your list. But out of the players on your list, we were discussing it and we probably would have gone Perisay. Those of us in the car on the way home.
Yeah, well, I did put Nuskin in instead of Jess because she's not a centre-back. And that's why she got in my list. Over Jess, who probably did have a better game than her, to be fair. Rich, what about yourself?
I'm also going to pick someone that's not on the list. I guess I kind of gave it away maybe a few minutes ago, but I'm going with JRK because she was the attacking player, even in the first half, that was basically providing the biggest threat. I think she played really well. And then obviously her very, you know, very well-timed pass on that slick pitch led to the goal being created. So, yeah, I'm going with JRK for this one.
Yeah, I think, in honesty, her place went to Muzovic because she's a goalkeeper.
Swedish tax.
Yeah, and she made two saves. But JRK, again, one of those players along with Jess that could have been in the poll, but they're not. And the players don't win nothing for it anyway, so I don't think they care. But Aggie, the winner, 59%. The assist, of course, for the goal. And another performance where she don't stop running. And then, obviously, the draw this morning, done by Rachel Brown Finney. So I think I just stopped crying in time to make this draw. Put the ball in the freezer, Sophie, and got us United away.
Yeah, when we were talking about it in the car on the way back, I said, we're going to get United away. And lo and behold, we got United away. I know technically draws are draws and they're fair and everybody stands a chance against everybody else. But I think the FA, this is almost the FA's dream draw, isn't it? Because they potentially get a new winner if we don't beat United, and they get another team gets to experience Wembley in a cup final in Leicester or Spurs, because either one of us or United were there last season. So it's good for the game in that more teams will get to experience Wembley, and the more teams will get to experience Wembley in big game matches, the more experienced players get at that, the better it is for the game in the league. But it's a little bit frustrating that we've got to go all the way up to United again. Although I've never been to Leigh Sports Village, so that's a ground I can tick off now.
Yeah, I'm actually away that week. So I did want a home match because I got back on the Friday. So a home match would have been okay.
When is it? 13th, 14th?
13th, 14th.
Yeah.
Probably not a travel to Manchester. But Rich, obviously we're going for a full consecutive FA Cup final. It's the full consecutive away semi-final, so maybe it is a good time.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, the teams were beaten in the other three semi-finals, Manchester City, Arsenal and Aston Villa. And, I mean, Aston Villa last season were, you know, a decent team, a much tougher opposition than they are now. But yeah, it shows that we can, you know, even though it is on paper the hardest tie we potentially could have got away at Manchester United, I think we should have enough to go up to Lee, which I had a look on Google Maps earlier. I am not considering that part of Manchester. It is somewhere in between there and St. Helens. Yeah, it's. I don't think it's in Manchester. I'm not counting it. I think, I mean, I was saying, well, you know, at some point we've got to have a home semi-final draw. It's just not happening this year. We had a two-thirds chance of it stay of the tie staying in London, and that didn't happen either. but no, yeah, like Sophie, I've not been to Lee Sports Village. I will plan on going to it, and hopefully it's a game at a sensible time of the evening. Well, not the evening, of the day, presuming it's on a Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, Leicester away would have been my ideal game because it's only an hour from me, so I didn't get the one I wanted either.
No, it'll be 12:30 kickoff or 6:45. Nowhere.
I don't know if it will be 6:45 because that's the Sky time and Sky don't have the rights to it. It's the BBC.
BBC. Yeah, I think the semi final. What time was the semi final for last year for Villa? That was like 1 o'clock.
Yeah, it was lunchtime.
Yeah.
Nice early start for you then ahead of that one. Obviously. A chance to get into a full final for a full FA Cup, and it would be nice, I think, for Emma to win it against Tottenham, you know, her club that she supported as a youngster and probably still supports now, to be fair, at Wembley, her final game before the Champions League final, of course, that we'll get to as well. Right, we're going to go for a break now. When we come back, we're going to look ahead to Arsenal in the WSL this Friday at Stamford Bridge. Before we do that, a reminder that the issue 10 of Kings Meadow Chronicle is available to purchase online from kingsmeadowchronicle.bigcartel.com. Alternatively, I will be at Stamford Bridge on Friday with copies, so you can buy one there. They're £2 cash or card, or online, they're £2 plus the postage. So make sure you pick up a copy. It features many, many fantastic writers, including Sophie's with us tonight. It's your fans' view of all the things happening at Chelsea FC Women. 36 pages of content related to the team that is just much better value than the programme, even if I say so myself. The link for all that will be in the description box, and we'll be right back after this.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Chidge.
JK. In all the years you've been following Chelsea, you hardly ever miss a match, home or away. But how would you feel if you couldn't be there and it's not on TV?
Oh, Chidge, I'd be bereft. Inconsolable. The thought of missing my beloved Blue Boys live. It's all too much.
I know, JK, I know. It's all a bit too much, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, panic not. NordVPN have come to the rescue.
They have?
Yep, NordVPN allows us to watch any match, even if it's not on live TV here.
They do?
Yeah, they do. With just one click, they switch your virtual location to a country which is showing the match, and they act as your cyber bodyguard whilst online, protecting your personal data and sensitive info like card details and passwords.
Oh, wow, great! But yeah, I bet that'll cost me a fortune.
Actually, JK, it's only the price of a cup of coffee per month, and you can use your account across 6 devices. It's a bargain, JK, and best of all, no more tears for you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, NordVPN. I'm so happy I could cry. Where do I sign up, Jidge?
Well, to get the best discount off your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/ChelseaFancast. There's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee, and you'll help support the Chelsea Fancast. The link is in the podcast episode description box.
Welcome back to part two of Up Against Kings Meadow. Time now then to look ahead to Friday night's huge WSL clash with Arsenal at Stamford Bridge. Over 30,000 tickets sold, according to the latest email I got asking me to buy tickets for a game I already got tickets to. Rich, just how big is this match? The biggest of the season so far, or biggest there will be this season?
Biggest so far. It's very important. And I also don't know how I'm feeling sort of going into it, given, you know, I don't obviously at this, you know, the time of recording, we don't know who's fit and who's not. And also what happened at the Emirates early in the season. And also the you know, how close it is at the top of the WSL table. If we get a win on Friday, I think we'll go on and win the league again. If we don't, I'm not too sure. I don't know if City will continue to win every single week. So maybe a draw might be okay as well. I really don't know, though. But I don't know how it's going to go on Friday. I've got no idea. Based on the starting lineup we might put out, I've got no idea what we're going to do. Arsenal, I think, are pretty predictable. I think I could probably name you the team they're going to put out, because they've kind of done it the last few times they've played against us. But yeah, us, I've got no idea.
Yeah, I mean, so there's just a lot of factors to this game, isn't there? You know, Emma's last WSL game at Stamford Bridge, the last game against Jonas Ardevelle, and they've had, you know, quite a good rivalry between them in the years that they've both been managing. Here, obviously, the defeat at the Emirates, as we said, you know, it's just everything seems to be combining to making this magnificent event. And I think it's a bit of a shame that it is on a Friday, but also at the same time, I think it adds to the occasion it's going to be a night game.
Yeah, definitely. It's not technically the last time Emma meet Ardevelle, because she'll meet him in the Conti the Cup final at the Custard Bowl. So, yeah, I'm terrified bricking it. I hate these games that mean so much. I don't enjoy the games, and the people around me don't enjoy watching them with me because I get very tense and very stressed. So, yeah, as Rich said, there's so many factors. We don't know who's fit, who's not fit. Is Myra going to be fit? Is Millie going to be back? Is Natalie Bjorn going to be fit? Is Erin going to be fit after going off injured on Sunday? It's just a multitude of, well, let's see what happens on Friday, shall we? Beth Mead scares me. She always does when she plays against us. But if we defend like we have been defending and we can get an early goal, then who knows what can happen.
Yeah, I think the positive I'm taking, Rich, is we lost to Man City, and then when we played them again, not so long after, we seem to have learned every mistake from the game and put an action plan in place that, you know, limited them wrongs. And I think that 4-1 will still be in the minds of the Chelsea team, and Emma will keep it there as well. And they'll go into this game, you know, knowing that, you know, they've got to win it if they want to win the league again.
Yeah, and I think the approach will be different this time. Like when we went to the, I think I did may have done the preview before the away game at the Emirates, and I didn't expect we'd be as cavalier as what we were, and it really played into Arsenal's hands. Now we move on sort of 3 months ahead in time, and I think that we're not as we're not as cavalier going forward, and I think Arsenal have kind of preyed on that in the past, especially with Caitlin Ford's been a real sort of nuisance down the left hand side. Obviously, Mead scored against the first goal against us in the game in December, and also I think Blackstenius has also, you know, played well against us as well, and they're all sort of players that are running behind. But Arsenal's the problem they've had in other games this season, when teams have sort of defended well, they've found it difficult to break them down. And potentially our new sort of the adopted approach we've had since sort of the start of the year where we've kind of been, you know, more defensive, sort of more on the back foot, but more importantly, more reducing the quality of chance that the opposition has. In my play, you know, it might be the exact correct way we go about this game. And I think as well, the players we've got available also adds into that, because, you know, we don't have everyone available. So, you know, it's much more likely them is going to, you know, look to, you know, trying to, you know, trying to shore things up as much as possible. But yeah, they've definitely harmed us before on the counter attack. And yeah, I'm just, I think the approach we've had since the Christmas break may, you know, may suit us in this game.
Yeah, well, obviously, so as Rich said, there are question marks about, you know, who is available, who's not. Obviously, we're not going to know for sure. I think some of the players pick themselves. Obviously, Hampton will be in goal for this one. Jess Carter will start a centre-half. Her partner, if it's not going to be Bjorn, if she is injured, do you expect it to be Buchanan back in, or given that she didn't even warm up for this game against Everton, there's still question marks about her fitness and it could actually be Nuskin again?
I think it'll depend if Erin's fit. So I think the midfield fitness of players will impact the defence, because if Erin's fit, you can play Nuskin as a centre-back. If Erin's not fit, you're going to need Nuskin in midfield. So therefore, Buchanan will have to play as a centre-back if Bjorn's not fit. So I think there's so many if whatever the expression is, you know what I mean, if buts and maybes. And again, if Ramirez is fit, then maybe you don't need to play Fran. If she isn't fit, then maybe Fran needs to play up front. And then that impacts the midfield as well. So it's really difficult to know who's going to play where. You go two ways. You look on the negative side, or say if everybody that's injured now is injured then Buchanan plays, because Nuskin needs to play in midfield. If you say if everybody's fit, then probably Bjorn will play in defence. So, yeah. In other words, I have no idea.
Yeah, it's a bit of a, you know, bad feature to have a lineup prediction given what we don't know anything. But yeah, Rich, I'm going to guess that Erin's going to play, fit or not. She'll be in the team. And if Bjorn's injured, I think Buchanan comes in. The other question, I suppose, is, does Perisic keep her place having played 3 games in 7 days, or does Lawrence now come back into the team and try and pick up where she left off, because she was, you know, having a good run of fixtures?
Yeah, I do wonder if, I don't know whether we start with a back three or a back four, because I do think that when Ash came on at the Emirates, she did play all right. I seem to remember that. She did play all right when she came onto the field, and probably should have scored, actually. As sort of like a, you know, someone who could play maybe as a right wing back and then have as a sort of a right sided centre back, and we maybe go to a back three. I like Perisic in these types of games personally, if we were playing a back four, because she's, you know, she's a solid defensive player, and, you know, she played really well against, mostly against Lauren Hemp, because she was on her side on Thursday night. But then when Chloe Kelly came across, you know, she was also dealt with her pretty well as well. So I like Perisic in these big games. And if there's, you know, not as much space to run in behind for Arsenal this time, then, you know, I like it even more. So I would probably have Perisic if we're playing a back four.
I think that's the key point for me, is that if there's no space to run in behind, then Perisic definitely. But Arsenal have got the pace, and I think the Emirates, that's where Perisic struggled a little bit to get back when she got beaten. And when Ashley Lawrence came on, she has that pace to get back, and it was harder for Arsenal to get past her. So I think Rich's point about how we're going to play, and if we're going to play a lower mid-block, then Perisic should definitely get the nod, even with the amount of games she's played, because Ashley's played the same number of games and travelled back from the States. So, but if we are going to play a slightly higher line, then I think Ashley Lawrence should probably play, because she's got that pace, that recovery pace, if she gets beaten.
Yeah, I think maybe sticking with Perisic would be the right thing to do from the start. And then you've got Lawrence, you know, his pace to come on if we need to maybe stretch the game a bit more. And Sophie, you mentioned Ramirez. Obviously, we don't know if she's fit or not. I'm guessing that she's going to be able to play this game and she was just left out of the FA Cup game as a precaution. But if she's not, what would you do for a striker? Would you have Lauren James go there centrally? Would you play Aggie? Would you play Fran?
I think it depends how we're going to play. If you want to be able to play a long out ball, then I think you play Lauren because she can hold the ball up better than the other two. The other two, that's not their game. If we're going to play out from the back and passing movements, then you probably want Lauren not in that position. You probably want Lauren in the 10 or out wide to be able to run at players. I'm interested by Lauren in this game because I don't think she's ever had a good game against Arsenal, but she's on her manor, isn't she? It's at Stamford Bridge. We know she loves playing at Stamford Bridge. So is this the game where she gets to have a good game against Arsenal? She gets to see the Lauren that we love to see at Stamford Bridge. It's difficult. It wouldn't surprise me if Aggie didn't actually start against Arsenal, having played a lot of the City game and all of the Everton game. And it's Wrighton, Fran and Lauren in some format if Ramirez isn't fit.
Yeah, I mean, Rich, this is the team I'm predicting, which is based nothing apart from, you know, gut instinct. Hampton in goal, Perisic, Carter, Buchanan, Charles, Cuthbert, Leupolz, and then Cameron, James, Wrighton and Ramirez. Yeah, I think it gives both the stability at the back and, you know, the strength going forward, especially with, you know, Cameron's pace and the quality, as Sophie said, of Lauren James on her manor, you know, needing her to step up, which she did against Manchester United.
Yeah, obviously it does depend on whether Ramirez is fit or not. The other sort of aspect that Arsenal have had an advantage over us is they have had control of the midfield. And I kind of go back to the preview which I was on last week with regards to Hasegawa, and then we ended up playing, you know, limiting her influence quite a lot. But Kim Little has kind of had the same sort of influence on the games against us. So I'd be always tempted to play Kirby as the 10 and then James up front as a kind of, you know, 9. I mean, she was running in behind against Manchester United. Of course, she scored 7 goals in WSL games at the Bridge, I think. She scored 2 hat-tricks and the one against Spurs. Yeah, so 7 in 3 games. So I definitely want her to be, you know, starting in some form, whether that's her as the 9, because, you know, Ramirez potentially isn't fit to come back. But yeah, definitely she's got to be involved. But I do want Kirby to kind of be the 10, because I do think that she has been working hard for the team defensively this season, and I feel like we might need to potentially add in that extra body into midfield at times in the game to, you know, to wrestle control away from Arsenal.
Yeah, having sort of heard Rich say that, Sophie, I'm wondering if they sort of copy what they did against City. But, you know, when you're at home, I think you do want to be a bit more positive, maybe.
I just want to win. If we win by scoring a goal and then defending for the rest, then I'm happy with that. Yeah, no, you do want to entertain people, especially at Stamford Bridge when you've got 30,000 people in, because you want everybody to come back. But people are going to come back if we win. I wonder if, yeah, going back to the Man City game, if there's an argument for playing Ćankovic in that number 10 role, because she did such a good job of keeping an eye on Hasegawa. And you're right, Rich, it's the midfield of that Arsenal, like the City midfield, that worry me. And I would go for a more traditional midfielder in that number 10 role rather than a Lauren James or even a Fran Kirby, just to try and wrestle control of the midfield. And if we don't have to play Nuskan as a centre-back, then I wouldn't even start her. I think I'd leave her, bring her on for chaos energy towards the end of the game.
Yeah, well, we will find out exactly who's fit and who's not around 6:15, I think, on Friday night, ahead of kick-off at 7:15. I'm assuming that Emma will do some sort of press conference before that. Whether or not she tells you who's fit and who's not is another question entirely. But we may get some information before the big day. But looking forward to it. Hopefully, I see a lot of you there at the game as well, especially if you're going to buy a copy of the fan team. And now, Sophie, I know you don't do predictions, so I'm not even going to ask this time. Richard, I'm going to come straight for you. How is this game going to go?
I really don't know. Because I don't know, I'm going to sit on the fence and say it's going to be either a 0-0 or 1-1 draw. I just don't know. It's so dependent on who we've got available and the approach that we take towards the game. That is, you know, that's where I have to, you know, sit, unfortunately. But, you know, I do want, you know, the people who come, especially obviously the Chelsea fans on Friday, to obviously make as much noise as possible, because I'm aware that Arsenal have got the shed, the whole of the shed. And, you know, we really need to, you know, make a noise, because it's going to potentially feel like a cup final in our own stadium. So, you know, we really need to sort of, you know, everyone who is going and is listening to this, we do need to get behind the team. I certainly will be, and I'll definitely have no voice but come Sunday or Saturday morning.
They've got the whole of the shed.
I think so, yeah. I think that's what someone
that's
told me.
Sold 30,000 tickets, isn't it? 6,000 of them are Arsenal fans.
Yeah, I'd like to do a bit of a choreography now. The Arsenal fans, don't they? I've seen online the sort of marches through places. So I'm sure they'll be up for a good game, and hopefully we can match their energy on the pitch and off it, of course. I'll let you have two predictions, Rich, because Sophie doesn't do one. To 0-0 and 1-1. I'm going to go 3-2 to Chelsea. An early Arsenal goal, and then we come back 2-1, goes 2-0, and then a late winner from Lauren James to seal the game in the course. Macario scores after 45 seconds of coming on. Don't make the rules, but the time's half in every time she scores and comes on. So looking forward to the game after Arsenal, I suppose, as well. Now, if you are going to Chelsea versus Arsenal, there is a special Chelsea FC heritage event taking place at Stamford Bridge, I believe in the tea room. Where that is in Stamford Bridge, could not tell you. I know it's called the tea room. It is looking at the history of Chelsea FC women. I know that Tony Farmer, the man that created the team, is going to be there, as is a couple of ex-players. I believe Katie Chapman is one of them. There's going to be stuff on show, people that really know their stuff. So if you're heading to Stamford Bridge, the event starts at 5 o'clock in the tea room. So if you need something to do or want to look at some Chelsea history stuff you've probably never seen before, that is the place to go. A lot of great people involved in making that happen. So make sure you check that out. And that is all we can have time for this week. We will be back on Sunday, the 17th of March, because we're playing next Tuesday, and obviously we're playing on Friday. So it's Sunday for the next pod. We'll be joined by somebody, don't know who. But I know it's probably not Rich and Sophie, because they've been on tonight. I think I need them later on as well. But Rich, good to see you again, mate.
Rich as well.
Yeah, I'll be at the Men's FA Cup game on Sunday anyway. So probably won't be any condition to do a podcast on Sunday night. but yeah, good to be on again.
Yeah, and Sophie, likewise, good to see you. Thanks for joining us.
No, thanks for inviting me on again. As always, good hour spent chatting, talking Chelsea women. Great, enjoyable evening.
Absolutely. You only don't have to listen back because you've done it. So it saves time as well. I like that on the fan cast. Now, if you do like what we do, you want to help support the show, do stuff like Mixlr, edit the bloody show, Zoom meetings and stuff like that. All costs money. Your support is invaluable. If you just do sign up to our Patreon, in return, you get to listen ad-free, early access listening. You get access to exclusive podcasts like our summer series, The 30 Years of Chelsea FC Women. And after 3 months, you get a free sticker, which is cool. I don't even have one myself. That's how valuable they are. The link for that is patreon.com/WentsmoKingsMeadow. For the price of an expensive coffee or a cheap beer, you can help support the show. So please consider to do that. As I said, we'll be back next Sunday, so make sure you look out for that on Mixlr. And until then, from Kings Meadow to Wembley, keep the blue flag flying high.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates are round. You've got your McNuggets share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect! Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.